Good evening and welcome. I want to join in with Daniel in welcoming all of our visitors and guests who are here in attendance with us this evening. We're pleased to have you all here, and we want you to know that we enjoy your presence, and we would love to have you back at every opportunity that you have a chance to come this way. I appreciate the kind words that Daniel had as he was introducing the speaker for this evening, but when he said that the hired guns were going to be appearing, I said, Tom Young is not speaking tonight. But I do appreciate your thoughtful words, and I want to tell you I appreciate each and every one of you for your words of encouragement and just the kindness that you all have shared with me. I also want to join in with Daniel in commending Brother Bass for the excellent lessons that he presented this morning. I tell you, I was driving home this afternoon and I was reflecting on the lesson that he presented at the worship service this morning. And I just have to tell you, you would be hard pressed to find anyone that appreciates an Old Testament sermon text more than I do. So I appreciate that lesson that you presented this morning. You know, one of the things that I appreciate about the Old Testament is that it is filled with so many useful examples that we can still find relevance to in our life today, and showing us how God has dealt with his people over the time. And I want to share one such illustration with you this evening. So if you would, turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus, chapter number 14. And while you all are turning there, I will share with you the context for this verse that we're getting ready to read. And so this is a situation where God's chosen people, the children of Israel, they have just been released from captivity in Egypt. And they are now in the Red Sea wilderness area, and they are encamped against the Red Sea. God has directed them there. They are encamped against the Red Sea. And Pharaoh has changed his mind in terms of allowing the children of Israel to leave from Egypt. And he has gathered up his army and decided to pursue them in the wilderness to overtake them and return them into bondage in Egypt. Something that you need to appreciate about this particular situation, at this point in time, Pharaoh is commanding probably the most powerful army that existed in the world at that time. And he is coming with over 600 chariots to come and pursue the children of Israel. The children of Israel had no fighting experience. They had been in captivity for over 400 years. They had no experience in any type of warfare. Not only that, they're in this wilderness with the elderly. They have their women with them, and they also have their children. And you have the most powerful army in existence at the time pursuing you, and you are pressed against the Red Sea with nowhere to go. And so on the surface, it is a seemingly impossible situation that we find the children of Israel pressed upon in this situation. So I want to begin reading in your hearing, Exodus chapter 14, beginning in verse number 10. It says, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord." As I mentioned to you, this is a very desperate situation for the children of Israel, and they did what I think anyone would do in that situation where all seems lost, all seem hopeless. They cried out to the Lord. And I would tell you, when we find ourselves in difficult situations, that should be our first response to difficulties, is that we call upon the Lord for our help. I wish I could tell you that our story ended at that point, that they called out to the Lord and then the Lord came and delivered and everything was happily ever after. But see, after they cried out to the Lord, they did something else. If you will look at verse number 11, it says, "Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. This is a pretty interesting situation that we see unfolding. So on the one hand, they cry out to the Lord for help, but in the very next instance, they seem to undermine exactly what they have asked for, and they begin to complain and say, "Moses, why have you brought us here?" It is so tempting to look at this situation and to look down upon the children of Israel in judgment and say, "You have got to be kidding me," because you all know just as well as I did that they cried out for deliverance from their captivity. In fact, in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, God says, "I have heard the cries of my people, the children of Israel, and I feel their pain." That's what he was saying to Moses when he told Moses, "I'm going to send you to Pharaoh." Have you ever been in a situation where you prayed in earnest for something, maybe a job or something like that, or a promotion in your job, and then you found yourself a short time after complaining about the very same thing that you prayed so fervently for? Don't act like I'm the only one that is called out to God, asking for this job, asking for this promotion, and then a short time later, "I can't stand this job. These people get on my..." I know I'm not the only one. I'm just going to assume that there's other people in here that can relate to what I'm talking to. And so that's what you see transpiring with the children of Israel. They're in this situation which seems hopeless, and the very first thing that they do is they begin to grumble and complain, which is a pattern that we will see that will continue to permeate with them throughout their wandering in the wilderness. But as I said before, I didn't come here this evening for us to cast judgment on the children of Israel. Instead, what I would like to do is take this passage and this illustration and highlight three things that we can use or glean from this passage to help us in dealing with times of difficulty. So the first thing that we can take from this passage in looking at the children of Israel as they're pressed against the Red Sea is to remember that no matter what, God is always in control. I want you to look at verse number 13 of chapter 14. As they're arguing and complaining about their situation, verse 13, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again, no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.'" In this situation, notice how Moses says to them, "It is the Lord that will fight for you." There's some words that I want to, or phrases that I want to draw out to you from this passage. First, he says, "Do not be afraid." Think about this for a minute. On one side, you have the Red Sea. On the other side, you have the Egyptian army in direct pursuit against you with bad intentions. Moses says, "Do not be afraid. Stand still." And then in verse number 14, "Hold your peace." I don't know about you all, but when I'm in a difficult situation, I'm talking about an extreme hardship, those are three things that are extremely difficult for me to do. Do not be afraid, stand still, and hold your peace. There is a lot that we can take away just from that particular section right there. I'll just share with you from my own personal experiences in times of difficulty for me. Yeah, I will call out to the Lord. I will pray and I will ask God to intervene. But you know what else I also begin to do? I begin to start figuring out, what can I do? How can I control the situation? How can I manipulate things to get the outcome that I so desire? I have been just as guilty as the children of Israel here, who on the one hand called out to the Lord and then on the next hand began to argue and complain. Do not be afraid. Stand still. Hold your peace. And then he says, "And see the salvation of the Lord." Meaning it is God who is going to work and move in this situation to accomplish his own purposes if you would just stand still and not be afraid. You know, sometimes you can actually get in the way of what God is trying to do in the situation by taking control over it yourself. I can't tell you how many situations that I have been in, either with myself or other people, friends or loved ones, that I thought I knew what was best. I thought, God, this is the outcome that needs to happen in that situation. And I tried to do everything to get the outcome that I thought was most appropriate, just to realize that was not the plan that God had. And I have to be trusting enough, stand still and trust God and trust his plans and his purposes, because God is always in control. Moses told him, it's the Lord who fights for you. You know, we have a similar promise to us as well. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 31, we are told, if God is for us, who can be against us? There is no power in this world, nothing created that is in existence that can overcome the power, the plans, and the purposes that the Lord has. If we would just stand still, hold our peace, and not be afraid. So God is always in control. Another thing that we can gain from this situation is an understanding that our struggles can be an opportunity for God to be glorified. I want to clarify what I mean by that. That is not to say that God is the source of all of our struggles. That is not what I'm trying to say whatsoever. In fact, there are plenty of Bible examples that will show that a lot of struggles are caused by other people. In fact, we'll look at one such illustration here momentarily. But what I do mean is, are we willing to trust God through our difficulties, that through our faith in him, it will bring glory to the Lord? Here's what I mean by that. Back in Exodus chapter 14, go back to verse number 3. This is the Lord giving instructions to Moses for where the children of Israel are supposed to go. In verse 3, he says, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. One of the things that I find challenging in a lot of situations is when I am faced with a difficulty in life or trying to comfort a loved one that's going through a difficulty, I compartmentalize things. And in my mind, the only thing that matters is that particular situation or circumstance that is happening at that point in time. And what I fail to see is the bigger picture that is at play. I fail to see how through trusting and having faith in God, that if I would just be willing to hold my peace, that God would be able to be glorified. Not only was God glorified by the Egyptians in this situation, he was also glorified by the children of Israel. Turn over to Exodus chapter 14. Look at verse number 30. This is after the Red Sea had parted and they crossed over on dry ground and the Egyptian army was swept away by the Red Sea. Verse number 30, it says, so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Have you ever been in a situation, and as you exercise your faith in that situation, you saw how God was working to help you to overcome whatever it was or comfort you in that situation? As you began to get into a better place, did you find that your faith was increased? Did you find, looking back, you were like, you know, I don't even know why I was so afraid, that God was with me the entire time? Have you ever prayed for something and then realized that God is answering your prayer and had your faith reinforced because God answered that prayer, it might have taken weeks, it might have taken months, it might have even taken years. But you know without absolute certainty that it was nothing but the Lord that was responding to you in that situation. It is very difficult for us to have our faith in God reinforced without enduring challenging and difficult situations. Not only was God glorified by the Egyptians and by the children of Israel in this situation, word of this spread to countries and nations far and wide. Here's an illustration. Turn to Joshua chapter number 2. Now, this is when the children of Israel were getting ready to go into Jericho, and the rim of the city was secured and shut up, and they sent spies into the land to spy out the land, and they found safety with Rahab, and Rahab hid the spies in Jericho. This is the words of Rahab speaking to the spies as they were getting ready to conquer Jericho. In Joshua chapter 2, beginning in verse number 9, and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Now here's something I want to point out to your attention that may not jump off the page at you initially. So Rahab says, we heard about what the Lord did for you at the Red Sea. That was 40 years prior to this conversation. 40 years had transpired, and Rahab said, we heard about what the Lord did for you at the Red Sea, and everyone is in fear of your God. Rahab very likely might not have even been born, or at the most been a young child, when the Red Sea parting happened. And yet 40 years later, here she is recounting this story, saying that we have heard what the Lord has done for you. Have you ever thought that through your own trials and situations and adversity, that other people will come to see the glory of the Lord through your faithfulness? Here's something I want to share with you. This is something that you all have actually seen here at work in this congregation. One of the things that I appreciate about you all is that when you have friends or family members that are maybe sick or you have different prayer needs, that you all are very thoughtful and considerate about making phone calls and sending cards and messages. We have had countless people respond to us saying that when they had relatives that were sick in the hospital, they were just overwhelmed with the amount of cards that they received from this congregation of people that had never met them. Not only were they overwhelmed with the love that they received from you all, but the medical workers that were attending to them were just so amazed that they would get so many cards and letters from a congregation that had never met this particular person that was in that hospital bed. Tell me that God is not glorified in that. Through your faithfulness, an example of how a time, I pray that none of you has to have a loved one or a friend that is sick and in need of a medical care, but the reality is that besets all of us at some point, and it's through those situations where God can still be glorified through the works of faithful believers, if we would just not be afraid, and if we will stand still and hold our peace. Someone who understood the bigger picture in terms of God being able to be glorified in any situation was the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to Philippians chapter number 1. This is a letter that Paul wrote while he was in prison. In fact, he was in prison for preaching the gospel. And in Philippians chapter 1, beginning verse number 12, he writes, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Here you have Paul, who was in prison awaiting trial. And Paul said, this is actually a pretty good thing. Because not only are the palace guard now hearing the gospel, but the brethren are now emboldened by my situation and they're gaining confidence and now they're preaching the gospel. So Paul said, me being in prison has actually worked out for the benefit of the gospel. How many of us, and I include myself in that, would be able to have that type of perspective to where you're in a difficult situation like that, to where you can say, but God is still being glorified through this time of hardship. You know, someone else that had a similar perspective on that was Joseph. You all remember Joseph. In fact, our children are studying Joseph in their Bible class right now. Joseph, remember I said that sometimes bad things happen because of the bad actors that are around us. And Joseph is one such illustration. His brothers sold him into slavery. Then while he was in bondage or in servitude to Potiphar, he was accused of something he did not do. And then he was put in prison as a result of that. So two very unfortunate situations that Joseph finds himself in. And then he finds himself serving directly underneath Pharaoh. He is the second most powerful person in all of Egypt. He encounters his brothers again, and through God's provision, through a famine, he's able to provide for his entire family, and he moves his entire family to Egypt. When his father dies, his brother, now in fear that with Jacob being dead, that Joseph is going to enact revenge on them for how they treated him as a child. And they come to Joseph apologizing for what they have done. Listen to what Joseph says to them in Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. He says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is to this day, to save many people alive. I would pray that if someone had ever treated me the way that Joseph had been treated, that I would have the same type of mindset to realize that this is not about you and how you treated me, but rather how I can serve the Lord. See, Joseph saw this as an opportunity that because of the situation that you put me in, God was now able to use this to preserve your life and the life of your little ones. How many of us would have that type of mindset to see that through our own adverse situations, that if we're willing to trust God, that we can still glorify him? And not only that, those that witness us in our faithfulness will glorify the Lord also. So do we look at our situations as an opportunity to glorify God? Do we realize that God is always in control? And then the final thing, do we let our current struggles undermine the promises in God's word? Let me take you back to the children of Israel. One of the things that I want to point out to you is that not only did God promise them that he was going to deliver them from captivity in Egypt, he also told them that he was going to take them to a land that he had promised their forefather Abraham. In Genesis chapter number 3, in verse number 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. As difficult as that situation was that the children of Israel found themselves in, pressed between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea, there were two things that they could have drawn on for strength in that situation. Number one, this promise that there was a land that God was taking them to. Now, the Red Sea is an obstacle, but God had made a promise. He was taking them to that land. Not only that, they had just witnessed the plagues in Egypt. They saw the mighty works that God was capable of doing firsthand. Not only that, they saw that God was able to make a distinction between the Egyptians and them. So having witnessed that and having knowledge of this promise that God made to them about this land, that should have given them the strength that realized that no matter how impossible this situation looks, God is able to do exactly what he said he was going to do. Turn to Exodus chapter 13. And I want to go to this passage because it is not like all of this information is not fresh in their memory. Because as soon as they left Egypt, Moses actually recounts all of this information to them. In Exodus chapter number 13, verse number 5, this is when he is instituting the instructions for them to remember this every year, what God has done for them. He says, and it shall be. I'll make sure I'm in the right place. Let's go back up to verse number 3. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. So the first thing is, Moses says, remember, it was by the strength of the Lord that you were even delivered from Egypt in the first place. Then he goes on to say, on this day, you are going into the month of Abib. And it shall be when the Lord brings you to the land of Canaan, of the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. So Moses is saying, first of all, remember how you got to where you are right now. It was the strength of the Lord that got you to this point. Then when God gets you to the place that he is promising you, remember all of these things. So that foretells of something that is yet to come. So as difficult as this situation is in the Red Sea, God has already told them where they're going. Now, I might not know how he's going to handle this situation, but God has already shown them that he is perfectly capable of handling that situation. Sometimes we will get so encumbered in a situation that we will completely forget what the word of the Lord says. We will completely forget some of the things that we have already experienced through God's care, through God's provision for us, because we get so overwhelmed in the current situation. That is exactly what's happening with the children of Israel, that they are being overcome by current circumstances. And so you may say, well, that was the children of Israel. They had the promises, and so they had something that God had told them they were going to deliver them to. What do we have to cling to in terms of what God has promised us? What can I hold out hope for in times of difficulty that God has promised me? Glad you asked. Turn to Romans chapter number 8. In Romans chapter number 8, this is a passage that I often go to in times of difficulty when I just need some encouragement myself. In Romans chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no situation that you will ever experience or encounter on this earth that God's love will not still be with you through. With the children of Israel, they had an actual visible indication. They had the cloud that was with them throughout this entire ordeal as a reminder of God's presence that was continually with them. One of the things that will be good for us to do is through our times of difficulty to take comfort in the fact that God is still with us and his love endures all things. And just as the children of Israel, God had a land that he had prepared, that he promised, that he was leading them to. Do you know you have a similar promise? There is a place that God has prepared and he has promised for each and every one of us. If you will, turn with me to Revelations chapter number 21. In the book of Revelations chapter number 21, beginning in verse number 3. He says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And then he goes on to say in chapter number 22, verse number 12, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." God has a place prepared for each and every one of us. Just as he had a land prepared for the children of Israel that he was leading them to, there is a place that is prepared for us. That no circumstance, no situation, there is nothing that can prevent us from attaining what God has promised if we will maintain our faithfulness. Remember what that verse said in Romans chapter 8. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. In your times of difficulties, remember, God is in control. Look at your situation as an opportunity for God to be glorified through your faithfulness. And do not allow current situations to undermine the promises that God has made to us in his word, if we would just maintain our faith and our trust in him. I don't know where you are this evening and what your situation is. If you have not yet obeyed the gospel to become a child of God, you have an opportunity to do that this evening, to confess your faith in Christ, to repent of your sins, to be baptized for the repentance of your sins. If you have not done so, you have the opportunity to do that tonight. If you are already a child of God and you are struggling with something, you're struggling with sin, or if you just need the encouragement of the members of the church, if you just need the prayers, whatever your needs may be, we bid you to come as we together stand and sing.